Welcome to Dead Man's Party. Nostalgic reviews from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. With your hosts, Chris, Alex, and Neil. Who could ask for more? Don't run away, it's only them.
How you doing? This is Robert Russler from Weird Science, and you're listening to the Skeleton Crew.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
What's up? It's Dead Man's Party. We are here reviewing Weird Science from 1985, one of my all-time favorite movies, and I am joined once again by Chris. What's up, Chris?
What's up, bitch?
Wait a minute. I just want to get a sip of my coffee before we start. You spinning this?
You stupid buttwad.
Do you realize it's snowing in my room, goddammit?
How does that even happen?
Yeah, where's the precipitation coming from? And that was Neil. What's up, Nudie?
Hello.
So we got a John Hughes movie here, Weird Science, 1985. Another star-studded cast. Anthony Michael Hall, Ian Mike Michelle something Smith, Kelly LeBrock, Bill Paxton, Susan Snyder, Judy Aronson from Friday the 13th 4 fame, Robert Downey Jr., I forgot what he's in. He's in something else. Robert Russler, the guy we interviewed on Skeleton Crew, Vernon Wells, the guy who's the bad guy in Commando, and then Michael Berryman, who's the guy from Hills Have Eyes. I'll tell you, this was a huge part of my life. Me and my sister, we used to watch this all the time. I'd say straight away, like
back in like 2017,
all the way back in 2017 or 16, I started watching it. Yeah, Chris is making fun of me because I'm so used to saying I did things 20 years ago, and I keep forgetting I'm 44.
And it was like 35 years ago instead of 20.
So I have to really update my spatial references. So, yeah, I'm old, guys. I'm finally old. I'm not that cocky 35-year-old I was when I started doing this crap.
Back when you were Alcatraz.
Dude, shut up. Oh, my God. Holy.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait till we have a fallout and I get you out of the show.
I'm going to sign up for that episode. This guy, Chris. What the fuck with this guy, Chris? Alcatraz my ass.
Alex said it was his fault again. It's weird. Alex bumps into the weirdest people.
Yeah, I keep losing these guys left and right. It's not me.
Where do I find these people?
I'm like a magnet for jerks. What is this? Because it can't be me.
Oh, stupid.
So anyway, yeah, I used to watch this as a kid. Me and my sister, we were obsessed. It's funny, as much as we like the entire movie, who would you guess stole the show from me?
Oh, Robert Downey Jr.
No.
What?
You're stewed, buttwad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bill Paxton, anytime I talk to my sister or our friends from back then about this movie, all we do is like, now make yourself one, dickweed. Like, oh my God. Bill Paxton as Chet is...
Oh.
You could not replace him with anybody else in the world.
Yeah, and you could... You know, I've said that so many times over the years talking about movies. Oh, I can't imagine anyone else playing this role. But seriously, for this movie, I cannot imagine anyone playing Chet except Bill Paxton. He is fucking perfect in this role, dude.
It's mind-boggling how some people are just meant to be certain things. Yes. And you got to remember, there's always 8 billion people to choose from. So whenever these one people land in these one spot, it's just amazing.
Yeah, that's why these casting directors are good at their job, man. They can just spot it.
They are. And it's weird because a lot of times you see the like the test footage of like what they did whenever they do that, read these lines or whatever. Sometimes they don't even seem that great. And you're like, wow, I wouldn't have been able to tell that he was the right guy because he didn't bring what he brought on that nervous day he showed up on set that he did to the movie. So, yeah, they are really talented. So I just want to give everybody the awareness, not that this matters, but I'm always curious about things like this, especially for this type of movie. So Gary in real life, this is all ballpark with the year they were born and the year it is. Gary was 17, Wyatt was 16, and Lisa was 25. So in real life, though, it was probably 16, 15, and 24.
I was going to say, you need to really take a year off if you're talking about when the movie was actually filmed. I did that last night, yeah.
Okay, 16, 15, and I think Wyatt even says I'll be 16 in June, so he's saying he's 15.
Right, that was legit, yeah.
Man, where do you start with Weird Science? We could start with the opener. Yo, check us out! What a brilliant way to start this movie. I mean...
Do you know what I would like to do?
Shower with
that's all he wants to do is shower, take a shower.
Then a little nightlife, a little
dancing.
And then he goes, those two right over there. And then the way Robert Russler and Robert Downey Jr. look at each other, knowing that they're talking about your girlfriends. Wow. You almost can't blame them. They're not even bad guys at this point for that, right?
No, not at all. They're just
picking on the nerds.
They see guys basically drooling over their girlfriends and they just want to humiliate them.
Yeah, best way to do it. So they start off. So this movie, now if you watch the TV version, which I watched first.
I've never seen that.
Okay, it's really weird. Like whenever they replace curses and all this other stuff, like when they meet Chet later and he's like, did he tell you about this woman we made last night? And he goes, no shit. And he goes, no shit, Jed, no shit. And in the TV version, he goes, did he tell you about this woman? I forgot if he even said we made last night, because that kind of refers to as having sex with her. He goes, no shaft. He goes, no shaft. No shaft, Jed.
No shaft.
I swear to God.
Dude, even growing up, I avoided TV cuts of movies that were R-rated because they would just butcher the fuck out of them, dude. I can't stand it. No shaft.
Oh now, Neil, you know the Die Hard TV cut, right?
Yeah. The Friday the 13th TV cut's amazing, too.
Oh, yeah?
It just cuts from nothing. You don't see anything.
It's just people standing around and talking, really. Yeah. So they're watching Frankenstein while they're home alone, and this movie could only be made in the 80s. I mean, you got to be really naive to how computers work and things like that. Like, it must have not been in any households at this point. So Gary basically invents AI apps you ever see those things where you could create your own woman and have these sexual conversations with her? Like, they always advertise that if you're scrolling through Facebook or, like, Instagram or whatever. Like, this, he kind of created it here because... If you look at the way he's talking when they're like devising this plan, Gary really doesn't think. He's like, Gary, it's not flesh and blood. It's not real. And he goes, yeah, but we could put it in sexual situations to see how it reacts and stuff like that. Like, he does just think he's creating an AI app, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
He thinks they're just going to be chatting with her on the computer.
Yeah.
Right. Back then in 1985, well, I didn't see this movie until 88, but still, it doesn't matter. Computers to me were just completely foreign. Like, we didn't have a computer at my house. We had like a word processor. I mean, it looked like a computer, but it was basically just a typewriter to like write papers on. So all that shit that they're doing on there, like that was, it may as well have been like the fucking internet. Well, I mean, it was like the internet. They were logging on and communicating with.
Well, yeah, they eventually slammed that phone down. And I guess that was to tell us they're going online of somehow, whatever that is.
Right.
That back then. Yeah.
They called NASA.
Yeah. What is that like that central computer place? Is that NASA or something? Like, what are we supposed to get from that?
They never really said it. Just I assumed it was just a government think tank.
Right.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah. So they're like hacking the central computer or something. I don't even know what's happening. Do you ever notice in this scene while they're doing this, they're dripping, sweating, like there's a bead of sweat coming off Wyatt's chin?
Yeah, they're sweating like they're in a fucking sauna, dude. Oh my God.
Why are you like that?
Typing is hard.
So these guys basically watched Frankenstein and conceived the idea of creating a woman and created her in the span of one evening. Like, there was no... It says even Frankenstein took months. Remember when the whole thing, his wife hasn't seen him for how long, or his fiance for how long, because he's been trying to create Frankenstein? These guys did this in one night.
Yeah, they were cutting pictures out of Playboys and feeding them into that scanner or whatever that was. Like, that's what I'm saying. That was, like, next level shit, dude. Like, that was beyond my realm of thinking back then.
Go ahead, Neil. Neil, what pictures would I be feeding into my thing?
Oh, Jesus Christ, nothing but J-Lo. His poor wife, he probably calls her J-Lo when they're intimate. He's like, once a week I get away with it, honey.
Only during doggy style, and I whisper it to myself.
J-Lo, J-Lo, J-Lo.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And it's funny because I sent you guys that clip. Dude, I used to always say this movie has to be remade and have J-Lo as the girl because that would be the perfect movie because that would be the equivalent of having Marilyn Monroe if you made this in the 60s or whatever. So, like, to me. So, like, that would be, like, the perfect, hottest perfection ever. Then years later, I'll say, like, in 2021 or whatever, she made this remix of a song she did for a movie. And she did this weird skit for Weird Science where the door busted open and she's Lisa standing there saying, what would you little maniacs like to do first? And I was like, wow, my whole life just came together.
Yeah, when you sent that to me this morning, I've never seen that before. That was perfect, man. That was awesome.
Once he found out, he didn't leave his room for a week.
And then I played out every scenario. I wonder what I would say if she said, what would you like to do first? I'd be like, hamana. I don't know. I have too many things at once. I have to take a week to think about it.
Take a shower.
Yeah, I'll start there. But yeah, them starting with the shower is amazing, dude. So yeah, when it's funny because you try to stare at what they're doing and you try to say, okay, how could this really happen? So you start losing them when they're like taking these like pliers and they're twisting this metal, this wire, all these wires connecting to this spine of electricity. Like, you don't know what they're doing there. So then you're lost already. And then you get to the phone slamming down. I guess, okay, you're just online. I could figure that out. But then you start getting to like, they're hooking up a doll with the neck bolts and the jacks. And they're like setting a car battery on fire, like flicking the lighter by it. You're like, okay, I don't know what they're doing.
And the fucking bras on their head. Where did that come in?
He even said, why
like,
are we
what does
bras?
That have to do with anything, dude?
Ceremonial.
It's ceremonial. Yeah.
If they looked like something people used to wear back in the day, it would almost be like, oh, yeah, okay, I guess this is all we have, though. But no, who? What is this? So stupid. So what do you guys think when they press enter and, like, everything's blowing up all over town, billboards are on fire, like, kitchens or the dogs standing on the ceiling?
It's very weird. Like, the sky turned red. Everything was weird. That was one powerful computer.
Right. It affected everything. It was amazing. Then there's a bunch of inconsistencies. So during this whole thing, Gary goes to smash the computer. He goes to break the bat over the monitor, and it shatters like it's a glass bat or something. Then he throws the computer out of the window, and they don't even care at this point like that they're destroying things. He throws it through his window instead of opening it. Throws it out, but later on in the movie, when Robert Downey and Robert Russler want a girl, they have a computer to do it with.
Well, I think when Lisa showed up, she fixed all that.
Everything got fixed.
Did she?
Yeah, I think
so. I just think everything, like, when she appeared, it just got fixed, you know, like at the end.
Like the way she does, yeah.
Right. How about when she first appears, though? Her hair, it's so fucking 80s, huge, fluffy, you know, just out to here, but it somehow it works. I mean, maybe it's because I grew up in that time and I'm familiar with it, but goddamn, she is fucking lights out, man.
Yeah. Right. So, Neil, what do you think of her as as the chick? Do you think
she was gorgeous? I mean, I'd never seen her before that movie, so I think it was cool that they didn't have a set, you know, a set star. She was great. She was great in the role. Beautiful to look at, and that British accent.
Is it just me, or does she totally sell a believable character? Like, do you have any doubt that she was created by these two? Like, when you watch this, like, it really seems legitimate. Like, she, I don't know what she, how she approached the role, or if it's...
It's her look, it's her voice, the accent, it's her overall attitude, her cockiness, her... Yep. She's so, you know, sure of herself. Everything.
She's mischievous. Like, she likes to see people mixing it up. She loves it.
Right.
Like, where did she come up with that? Was it things they fed into the computer that gave her this personality? Like, she seems almost like another being who was already around, and she has...
Like, she was aware of everything. Right. Right.
Well, they fed Einstein into there, and they fed all that stuff, and they stole all that information from the think tank or whatever the hell that was. So,
and the David Lee Roth's personality.
Yeah, she basically had everything that you could think of inside of her, all the knowledge of the world at that point, I guess.
Yeah, but her performance totally sells me. I don't for a second think, oh, come on. Like, I'm totally buying this the entire time.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
just
dude.
Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, she had
although if you want to just go for straight up looks, give me Judy Aronson over Kelly LeBrock any day.
Well, I was going to go there, so I guess we can go there now. So out of these three chicks, first, let's start with the two girls. Who are you picking there?
Judy Aronson. She's one of my all timers.
Me too. And I
you met her, right?
I met her. Yeah. Like 2 years ago. She still looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. I've seen pictures of her online. Holy shit.
Mm hmm. Yeah, I was never into Deb.
I mean, no. She's cute, but no, Judy Aronson is just, I don't know, man. There's just something about her. She's incredible.
She had that Debbie Gibson look in the movie.
Yeah.
She always reminded me, Judy Aronson always reminded me of the chick who was the lead singer of the Bengals back in the day.
Susanna Hoffs.
Yes, brunette, really fucking cute. I don't know. I just always put them two together.
And we all saw her naked.
Absolutely. And get killed.
And got killed. And then made the goofiest face ever.
Fuck you, Paulie.
Paul? I like how she was still willing to be okay with Paul if he came back out afterwards and apologized.
So was she pretty cool when you met her?
Yeah, very cool. I said to her, honestly, I know you're probably thinking it's all about Friday the 13th, but I said, I loved you in Weird Science, man, when I was like 14 years old, 11, 12, 13, 14, like you were everything. And so we picked Judy, right? I guess you too, Neil, is Judy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I could swap either one, Kelly or her, but they're both gorgeous.
So then, okay, so her and Kelly LeBrock, we're still going Judy on this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably am. Oddly enough, I think Kelly LeBrock is really hot. She was great and Hard to Kill, but I wouldn't say like she's like the woman of my desires or anything like that. Like, and it's interesting that they cut pictures of her face out and fed them to the computer, so it all makes sense. So I guess the first thing you get here is they go to that blues club and things like that, which is really weird, right? Like, it's so funny because It's 80s and it's not 80s. Like, it has all these great moments where, like, Wyatt backs into a bathroom stall and sits down. And he sits on another man.
Well, goddamn.
Oh, my God. Number one, why is the door open, dude? It's your fault. Two, why don't you say anything as a man is backing up to you and pulling his pants down?
Oh, I love how he, when he first walks in the bathroom, he's like, hi, dudes. And they just like, they all just grunt and turn back around. Yeah. And then, like you said, he backs into the goddamn stall as if the guy wouldn't say anything, sits all the way down and says, well, goddamn.
He's Grizzly Joe.
maybe he's like Seabass from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yeah.
Meet me here at 2:15 sharp. Oh, my God. Yeah. That was a scene. It's like, What's a pretty girl like you doing with a malacca like this? She likes malaccas, Dino.
She's into malaccas. She likes
malaccas. Yeah, he started talking funny once he got drunk. Hey, man, she liked the malaccas.
Yeah. Hey, man, the fat man, let me tell you my story, man. I was crazy insane over this eighth grade bitch. Crazy insane,
let's talk about Fats for a second. That guy was in this movie. He was in Rocky III. He was in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Is he the bus driver?
The bus driver, yes. You only hear his voice.
Wow.
Yeah, but he's in Rocky III, obviously. You know that, right?
Okay, he's a sterno bum, yeah.
Because Paulie's like, shut up, you sterno bums! I'll squash you! And then that guy's like, blah, 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 blah. You can't even understand what he's saying, but that's him. And yeah, in this movie, for the longest fucking time, and I'm only saying this because one of my best friends wanted me to touch on this, when they're in that bar scene and Anthony Michael Hall character is drunk and he's talking to him, he's like, I was nuts for this crazy eighth grade bitch, you know, going through that whole thing.
I was nuts for the woman, you know?
And he's like, every night. And the guy's like, on the telephone? And he goes, what's this boy talking about on the telephone, man? And then that Fats guy goes,
explain it.
That's the thing. For the longest time, until a DVD of this movie came out and I could put the subtitles on, I had no fucking idea what he said, because to us it just sounded like he was saying, but then you put the subtitles on and he says, explain it to him.
Man, you know there's a telephone. Yeah, I always get worried at that scene that he's going to piss off the black guys and they're going to like, you know what, man, get the fuck out of this table.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but instead he gives the high five, party's over.
And how about Anthony Michael Hall, just to touch on him real quick. So in four movies in a row, he knocked out the original National Lampoon's Vacation, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, and Weird Science. Holy fuck, dude. Like,
yeah.
Talk about a run. Oh, my God.
And they were John Hughes.
They were all John Hughes movies, yes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they had a falling out during Weird Science, and they never worked together again.
Yeah, I read that apparently Anthony Michael Hall was getting a little big for his britches, I guess, like ego-wise, and they had a falling out. And to be honest with you, even though he's never stopped acting, other than Halloween Kills.
Halloween and Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, was he in that? I haven't seen that in 30-plus years.
He was the asshole boyfriend for like 5 seconds, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he was a fucking movie star in the mid-80s, and then as far as fame goes,
that was
he's been off the map ever since then, yeah.
Yeah, he did that Dead Zone show on USA for a few years.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I didn't watch it, but yeah.
Did you recognize the other black dude in the bar from American Ninja?
Never saw it.
I don't know it enough to know that guy.
Kevin James. He was like the American Ninja's partner in American Ninja.
Oh, wow. No.
Kevin James.
The guy with King of
yeah.
Queens.
Yeah, that's him.
The guy with the bald, with the horseshoe hair, right?
No. Just a regular big muscle-bound black dude who's sitting at the table
oh,
with them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're right. I do know that he's from there. Yeah. He was the one who, like, when he said, I don't want to drink, he grabbed him by the shoulders and started rubbing his shoulders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Until now. Yeah. Yeah, he's great. I like that guy.
He passed away young, too.
Oh, he did?
Wow. Yeah, a long time ago. I think he had cancer.
Crazy. So they're driving in this pink Cadillac. Lisa is, for some weird reason, overly concerned about what Wyatt's going to tell Chet. I don't know why. That was a weird thing. She kept going, I want to, well, what are you going to tell Chet? He goes, oh, I don't know. Nothing. It's not very realistic, Wyatt. So
she didn't want him to put up with his shit anymore. Like, she knows everything about them. So
right.
She's like, what are you going to tell him? Because she doesn't want him to put up with the bullshit. She's trying to make him into men.
Right. Her whole thing seems to be getting them straight, you know?
Yep.
Like, and they have a lot of problems in life, and she's kind of working them out one by one. I guess Chet's the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chet, how about the scene where they come home all drunk and he starts touching Chet's mouth and pulling so he can get a good look at those tombstone teeth he has? Are those his real teeth?
Who, Bill Paxton?
It seemed like it.
I'm assuming.
Because they are big choppers, man. I never noticed that.
The space like Robert Downey.
How about a nice, greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray?
Oh, I like when it goes...
What's that all about? Trying to make him throw up.
Oh, that's for sure. I was trying to make him puke.
Then he says, if he pukes, he's dead.
He pukes, you die.
You two donkey dicks couldn't get laid in a morgue.
You're right, Chet. You're right.
No shit, Chet. No shit.
So then we get to one of the hottest scenes, and I would love to do this in my remake of this movie, but Wyatt making out with Lisa. Oh, my God, dude. And so just think of that. He was 15 and got to make out with this 24-year-old.
Because at that age, she may as well have been fucking 54 when you're 15 years old. I mean, good God.
Did you notice she looked down at his penis?
No, no, I didn't. No.
We watched the scene after. They're like kissing. She goes, what are you thinking about? And then she kind of like glances down. So I think he got a boner.
And he goes, wow, gymnastics.
No. Yeah, gymnastics.
Oh, and she goes, well, I don't know. I'll try.
Just like, if you get a chance, rewatch it. She kind of like glances downward. It's kind of hilarious.
I like how he wants her to do gymnastics. Honey, you could just lay there like a fish and I'd be doing 1,000 times better than I was last week.
Right.
Like,
right.
Give me a break, gymnastics. And why would Lisa yell for them to come down for breakfast when Chet's in the house? Like, we're trying to be discreet here. Gary, Wyatt, breakfast!
And then he acted like he didn't hear it.
Right. He goes, turd brain. Yeah, he doesn't hear a woman yelling in an empty house of just you three guys.
For Christ's sakes, would you cover yourself?
Oh, dude. He goes, nice panties. He goes, it's a joke, Chad. That's not a joke. That's a severe behavioral disorder. Next thing you know, you'll be wearing a bra on your head. That's so great. Oh, my God. Well, your VCR should cover it. For openers.
What about the beginning when Gary's shaving, the amount of shaving cream that's in that sink? It's like you took a whole can of that fucking foamy shaving cream and just squirted it all in the sink, dude.
Right.
And he's not even shaving. He has nothing.
He has nothing there.
He's just scraping foam off his face.
So, yeah, that whole breakfast scene, Chet's nude scene is hilarious. But like I said, my favorite part is when he goes, hey, that looks pretty good, because Lisa made the breakfast for the guys, and he steals it, and he goes, now make yourself one, dickweed.
And like, that laugh he does, oh my God.
Yeah, it's so funny, man.
But can you imagine the fucking residue that would be left on the ceiling from smashing eggs
on the ceiling?
Oh my God, dude.
Why would Chet think he would kill Wyatt for doing that?
Exactly.
It's funny.
I don't know how many fucking takes they had to do of that scene. Because it's perfect.
To land in the pot, yeah.
It's one, boom, and he puts the pan down, catches it. He doesn't even fucking break eye contact. It's perfect.
He's probably going to blame Wyatt for everything anyway.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I'm going to make stuff up.
Yeah, I'm even considering making up some shit. Now we get to the mall scene, and Gary and Wyatt are like buying stuff. This girl's insulting them, and they say, no, we have a 25-year-old chick and all that other stuff. And she was pretty cute. The girl at the counter, she's actually from something else.
She's in Night of the Creeps.
That's it. Yep. So she's pretty cute.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So Robert Downey Jr., Robert Ressler are in the mall. They're dressed so 80s. I mean, these two guys, 80s old, and their girlfriends. I mean, this couple, this entire couple, this is another movie that really, just like we said with Rocky III, this movie encapsulates 80s like no other.
They're dressed like Debbie Gibson and Blossom.
Oh, yeah. The outfits, the hairdos, everything. Like, this just... And I don't know why when someone says 80s to me, 1985 is always the year that I mentally jump to, whether it's movies, music, whatever. That 1985 was just like the quintessential 80s year for me. And that's when this movie came out. And it's just perfect.
Well, it's kind of the peak because it's the furthest away from the 70s and the furthest away from the 90s.
Yep.
This might be the quintessential, if one of the quintessential 80s comedies of all time, in the sense that it's a time capsule.
Sure is.
Definitely, yes.
There's no fucking malls left anymore. That's for sure.
Those were the days, man. Just going to the fucking mall and walking around for 2 hours. Oh, my God.
Yeah, dumping Slurpees on the people underneath you.
The arcade.
Yeah. Going to the big white sale at Towel World.
I used to love those two guys. You know, it's funny. I was obsessed with both those guys. You guys both know I interviewed Robert Russler. That was an amazing time. We talked about Weird Science a lot. That was 10 years ago, that interview, weirdly enough.
Wow, you interviewed him when you were 5? Holy shit.
Yeah.
You're
okay, so,
you're
so you say 10 years ago, so that really means like 25 years ago.
I say 10, so it really means 25. Yeah, no, this is the one time I'm being accurate. So yeah, he was awesome. I always loved those two. I never, although think about it, we're supposed to hate those guys as viewers. Like, you're always supposed to be on the team of, like, the main characters. You're not supposed to be on the guys who picks on up team.
Right, know? But, like, they don't come off the same way, like, Johnny Lawrence did in Back to School. Like, it's a completely different vibe. They're douchebags, but they're still lovable. So it's just totally different.
Yeah, even being funny when the girls say they're tired of their shit and they talk and they're like, and they're doing that dance right, in the mall and then they get back up. Yeah. Like, even that is for us. You know, then they see Lisa up the escalator and she's looking so hot, dude, with that tube top on and the jean jacket and the lipstick and everything. And I'm just like, wow. And they just abandon their chicks. Imagine that. They jump over the railing and go up the escalator to follow her. Yep. They go all the way there and they get the greatest moment ever. She's totally ignoring them. Then Gary pulls up and then gets her. She kisses him, hits his cheek. She goes, she likes the rough stuff. What can I say? Then they get in and he starts doing this thing where he's like kissing like the side of her mouth and her lips are just like going like that. Yeah. Just think of what those guys would be thinking. They'd be like, we just hopped over an escalator for this girl and this asshole's making out with her.
Don't you think that would have been the end of their relationships with their girlfriends after they completely ditched them and started crawling up the goddamn escalator to try to get to this chick?
Well, I don't remember, but I assume the girls were in front of them, so they don't actually might not even know they left till they turned around or started saying something. They weren't there, so they even if they did turn around, they wouldn't really know why they're going up that escalator.
Yeah, I guess.
But they ditched him with no consequences.
Nothing. No.
Yeah. They got away with it.
So then we get to this Gary meeting the parents thing. Lisa is unbelievable. She just, I guess here's when we can really talk about what is she? How does she know? Like, she created that pink car they were driving around in. You guys said she fixed up their house as soon as she was made. How does she know that she could change time and space and everything and the memories of people and wipe things out? Like, what powers exactly?
All right.
It's the most unexplainable being ever.
Because she is just, she's supposed to be the epitome of perfection. She knows everything. She has a solution for everything. So there's nothing you can throw at her, which she's not going to be able to solve in like seconds. So that's just how I look at it.
It's bizarre, though. Like, she went in there with the intent of just mixing things up, chaos, craziness, telling the parents, oh, just sex, drugs, rock and roll, chips, dips, chains, whips. It was just with the intent of making, like, insanity ensue. Knew that she could do anything and seemingly just manipulate, like I said, time, space, memory, to the point where he don't even remember he has a son named Gary.
Yeah,
they don't never threaten me, Al. You're out of shape. I'll kick your ass.
They just never explain how she has all these powers to make cars appear and disappear and clothing change and everything else.
It's very convenient.
Yeah, it was great for the movie.
To say the least, yeah.
Oh, everything about this movie is so contrived. Like, even if you even say, like, what are the odds Deb and Hilly would have knocked on the door when these two guys are in the bathroom together, right? Like, out of everyone at this party, there's like 1,000 kids there, but those two are the only ones who had to go to the bathroom. And those two guys are in there, and they have this moment, and then it's so contrived that they whisper these things to each other in the shower. And by the time they look over the top, it's two other girls in there who look exactly like them, but the fat versions.
Gary was taking a shit.
Oh, yeah. I love the sound of that slap. That was
perfect. You're dropping wolf bait. There are chicks outside.
Yeah, what the fuck? I had that in my notes. What the fuck is wolf bait? Where does that? I've never heard that in my life except for this movie.
My dad used to say it, and I didn't know if he got it from this movie or if shit really does bait wolves.
I guess. Otherwise, where the fuck would that come from? I mean, also, I love the line, which I've used before in my life. If you're going to float an air biscuit, let me know.
I stole that one from this movie, too. Yeah, we always say air biscuit. So just for reference, because I always love to know how old these parents are, because in the 80s, they always look so much older. The dad's 46 and the mom's 47, which that, I guess, fits. Although Neil here looks way younger than that dad.
Thank you. If I wasn't gray, I'd look 20.
Yeah, you would. And Chris, you're 46, right?
No, I'm 48.
Oh, so you're 2 years older than that dad.
Dude, I do this just like you said. I do this every time I watch an old movie now, and I've been doing this for like the last 5 or 6 years. I will pull those people up on IMDb and see how old they were when these movies were filmed, and it blows my fucking mind every time because of the age I am now.
Yeah.
Like that the mom in this movie, like, she looks like she's 60 to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They do always look older.
People just looked older back then, man. It's just the way they dress. It's the way they did their hair, all that stuff.
Took care of themselves.
Like how old is J-Lo? Like 54 or something?
54, right.
Jesus Christ. She looks like she's no older than 52.
You just shot him in the heart.
No, I don't. You think I really care what he says? You kidding me? That did nothing to my heart. I'm fine. I didn't skip a beat, buddy.
Next time on the show, the Chris Taylor Show.
Yeah, he's just afraid to tell me who his J-Lo is, so I can't go after her. So he just goes, oh, I don't really have one.
It's Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, it is, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, on the Mechanical Animals cover.
Art the Clown.
That's his chick.
Yup. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, you tossed off any good Fangorias lately?
Actually, to be honest with you, I never bought one Fangoria in my life. I used to go to Walden Books at the mall and I'd flip through them. I never bought one.
Put them back on the shelf?
They were always so fucking expensive. You know, back when I was like 13, they were like $5 for a magazine. I was like, I can't pay that.
Yeah. So when she says that his whole outlet is tossing off to nude magazines in the bathroom, did you guys get like flash, like did your, and when she says this, the mom comes off like she suspected it, like you said you were combing your hair and all that stuff. Did your parents ever catch on to why you were hanging out in the bathroom so long when you were 12, 13?
No, but they had to have known. I mean, they never said anything, but
my mom did say something one time.
Oh, that's hot. What'd she say? Show me?
She goes, I want to see the remnants when you're done.
What you doing in there?
She goes, well, let's get going. Something like, I don't have time for your fetishes.
Oh, my God.
And I went, what? And meanwhile, I was literally shitting at the moment. So now I really got defensive because now I'm not even actually doing anything wrong and you're accusing me. So, yeah, she actually let on that she knew what I was doing in there.
Not a deer fetishes.
Meanwhile, I was more of a shower guy anyway. I wasn't really like a take a shit and then go to toss off kind of guy. So the doorbell rings for the party at the 43-minute mark, which is like the movie is like 1 hour, 34 minutes. So basically like halfway through the movie, the party starts, which I found strange. I don't know if I found that it came so soon or that it's basically the duration of the rest of the movie, you know, barring the morning, the next morning and all that.
Did you know who the father was before we go on there? He's the storekeeper in Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, yeah, of course I knew that.
Right,
yeah.
But at that point, it was way after that before I even saw Silent Night, Deadly Night. So when I was, like, first getting familiar with this movie, this is all I knew him from. He's also, I don't know if you've ever seen Father of the Bride with Steve Martin. He plays the grocery store manager in that when Steve Martin's ripping the hot dog buns out of the packaging. Yeah.
He's in also in the Great Outdoors.
Oh, shit, yeah, the skunk hair guy.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
We got to do The Great Outdoors sometime, man. That is a classic, man.
I'm not a fan of that movie.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you guys later.
See you, Chris. That's how I get back at him for the J-Lo thing. I say something else he doesn't like.
You're not a fan of The Great Outdoors.
I saw it one time, and it didn't do anything for me. So I would love to watch it again because I heard multiple people say it's, like, amazing. But here's another movie that happened with me. Caddyshack, I didn't get it the first time I saw it. And then I became obsessed with it by, like, the third to sixth time. And then the seventh time I saw it, it wasn't as good as I remembered. And I noticed myself forwarding through all of Bill Murray's scenes because I just found those to be, like, I was like, I don't want to see him do this whole thing again with this.
What about the eighth time you watched it?
I never got to an eighth because once I'm at the point where I'm forwarding it, I said,
damn, that's crazy.
I know. I said, let me leave this as something I like for now. I just stopped. So, hi ding.
Yeah, what is that? What the? Why are they talking like that? How you doing?
I guess he thinks it's cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
Hi ding. I had him do that when he opened up our show. I said, "Hey, can you go hi ding. It's Robert Russler. You're listening to the Skeleton Crew."
Did he do it?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to re-listen to that. It's been like 5 years. That's awesome.
So Deb and Hill are, like, loaded with makeup in this this party scene. Yeah. Like, holy shit. Their faces, that blush or rouge or whatever the hell they put on their face, that is insane. Is it just because we're watching Blu-rays or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, that obviously enhances it. But yeah, it's like clown makeup, dude.
Oh, it's clown makeup.
Yeah, for sure.
So why is Gary in the bathroom with Wyatt? Like, just because Wyatt has an upset stomach and he's suffering from all of the stress and everything, like, I'm sorry, since when do you stand around? He's like, I can't believe this is a party outside and we're in the John. No, I can't believe you're in the John with him.
Because they're two nerds.
We can still hear the music. They're
still afraid, yeah.
Yeah, we could dance, yeah.
Well, that's great. We could dance. Maybe if we put our noses to the door, maybe we can smell the food.
Right. Like, I'm sorry, but no one said you have to be here. And how come Wyatt doesn't say that? Like, I'm sorry, Gary. When I take a shit, I really like when you're here with me. Like, if you're going to float an air biscuit, let me know. If you're going to squeeze cheese, like, of course he is. But you chose to be in here with him. What's the problem?
Oh. You better turn on the fan.
Yeah, you better turn on it. Goes, so at that moment, they really focus on the soundtrack for this movie. Like, that's when the music really starts kicking in. Like, different songs throughout the party and different scenes, like when the mutants show up and all that. Did you guys ever give this soundtrack a real honest observation listen?
Oh yeah, back in the 80s, that was a thing, man. Movie soundtracks, that was huge, 80s and 90s. Like, those things would clean house when they got released.
Right. Yeah, I have the vinyl of this movie and Back to School. And I was listening to them in the build-up for these shows that we did for them. And I've been listening to the Weird Science soundtrack for like 10 years. And I really mean 10.
So that means like 25.
I discovered them around 10 years ago. But yeah, there used to be a great link on YouTube where you could type it in and it played it it was like an hour long and it just played them all in a row. And those were the real soundtracks. If you go on Spotify and try to look it up, it's never the real ones. There's songs missing.
Yeah, there's licensing issues, all that bullshit.
Yeah. So you'd have to get the vinyl or maybe see if they ever sold this on CD. But I'm telling you, it's a great thing to just have on when you're like hanging home on a Friday night, hanging with your wife or girlfriend or whatever, like just having that on and having like your bar light on and just like mood and all that. It's really cool. And
Oh, that part when Lisa and Gary are at his parents' house, and then he claps his head, falls down, and then Wanted Man by Rat kicks in. Oh, shit, dude. That song is so fucking banger.
Yep. Yeah, this has a lot of great stuff.
Yeah.
So how about, do you guys like that little moment where they are in the shower and then they're like talking and you just see their mouths?
Yeah. It zooms in. It's good shit.
When they talk to Robert Russell and Robert Downey Jr. and they go, would it be, that Lisa said it was cool if we borrowed her. They're like, yeah, she said it was cool. Did she say that? I don't remember that.
All she said was, I do what Wyatt and Gary tell me to. So they were trying to get them to tell her to go with them.
Oh, they were blatantly lying, and we should know that, right? Okay. Then they get to the part where they're going to build these guys their own woman. He's like, can you guys keep a secret? These guys just dumped Slurpees on your heads this morning. Like, we like them, but there's no reason. They pulled your pants down. They did all this stuff. God only knows what they did before we started observing their life. What, you don't owe these two guys anything. Why are you building them a woman when they already have Devin Haley?
I don't know. Trying to be cool? I have no idea.
They didn't want to share Lisa, so they figured they'd make them their own Lisa.
To get them off their back, off their case?
Yeah. They can't really say no because these guys are bullies, right? That's the only thing I could think of. Like, if we don't help them, they're going to bug us the rest of our lives.
Yeah, so Slurpees for days.
If we can make them a girl.
Let's make them a chick. So in this montage, you get the picture of the parents. They're like dancing, like the corniest 80s dancing ever. The kitchen is blue. There's a boy trapped in the TV with the Munsters and like an airplane flying around. Everything starts flying up the chimney and out into the pond in the backyard. The piano player chick, dude, when she's holding on for dear life, then all of a sudden that split second where her bra is gone.
Yes. Amazing. Oh, as a kid, that's one of those
freeze frame. Oh yeah,
exactly, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot of work. They put a lot into this movie, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, to make the way, just the effects, to get all that shit to fly out of the house and everything, and
to make it happen,
it's pretty amazing. A lot of we didn't get to the what happens when they try to make the girl, but that stuff, and it's pretty amazing shit. I mean, the effects are really good.
Even that, yeah, they forgot to hook up the doll. So the two things that are at the end of that thing they made with the wires, that is sitting on the top, perfectly on the top and the bottom of a picture of a missile.
Time magazine.
So, like, why so specific? Like, a plastic woman didn't come out when they put it on the other thing. Why would a missile come out? Because it was like a real missile. Like, this thing is made like to real life specs. Like, it's just a picture. Yeah. Like, shouldn't a 6-inch picture come out? You know, like, it's the weirdest thing. But yeah, the missile comes through and a bird instantly perches on it. It's stupid. Oh, so the grandparents show up and Lisa does that whole thing. They made me on that bloop computer. Like, so weird.
I'm not going to stand here and listen to this baloney.
He won't know. He doesn't stand for baloney.
Baloney.
Have you ever? I never.
Never.
Such grandpa. You can't keep hitting people with your Rex Harrison hat. We have to look up Rex Harrison.
I think to this day they're still in the closet because they never showed them getting out of the closet. So they're still in there.
Yep.
They never really did, right? Like, even when everything was getting fixed at the end, they didn't, like, walk out. Like, the way Chet grabbed his balls and make sure they were there still and all that stuff. They didn't, like, go, oh, what the hell? You know?
Yep.
And, hey, what are Nanny and Grampy doing here? I don't know. How do we get here? What are we doing here? Isn't their car parked somewhere with the other 100 cars that came over that night? Like, what's happening?
They never really said that.
Speaking of Chet, that motherfucker has the flattest flat top ever. Like, you could land a helicopter on that fucking thing, dude.
It's so short.
It is squared off. But it's, like, long on the sides and in the back. It's weird.
But short on top.
It's greased up on the sides and the back. But on the top, that son of a bitch is just squared off.
Neil, before we get to the mutants with the bikers coming in. You haven't seen this movie in 35 years, 40 years. Or
in your years, five.
In my years, five. So five whole years. What was it like watching this as a guy who isn't invested the way me and Chris are?
I tell you, like, I enjoyed every minute of it. And I remembered a lot of it, but I didn't remember a lot of it as well. So that was kind of almost like watching a new movie. But it was it just still holds up well. I mean, it's pretty incredible for a movie as old as it is that it just, like you said, it encapsulates the 80s. And
right. It
just, it brought me back to those days and parties like that. I mean, they weren't as wild as that party was, but I did go to some parties like that.
Oh, they didn't throw pillows at each other?
No, it was tons of no bikers, you know. none of that shit, and you know, we didn't throw pianos out the fireplace and all that shit, but
or shoot chandeliers off the ceiling. Yeah,
you know, but it does encapsulate the 80s for sure, and it was a good time watching it again. So like, it'll probably be in a regular rotation then.
That was the question. Great. Yeah.
And I want to do that too. Like, you're on my Plex account, so you know all the movies I got on there. And there's so many 80s movies that I want to revisit. It's just time, you know, it's not enough time to do what everything I want to do and everything. But I'm going to try to revisit a lot of these 80s movies again, because
me too.
There's some that I overlook as opposed to watching some of the same ones over and over.
Me too. So at this point, Lisa decides to test these guys. After they see their grandparents in the blue kitchen in the closet, and she sends these mutant bikers into the party. They start driving through with their Harleys, up the stairs, through the rooms, running into the kids at the party. Then you get to this moment, which is mind-boggling to this day. They show Robert Downey Jr., Robert Russler, behind the bar. You remember the bar that they went to in the beginning where he goes, "I'll have a scotch straight up." No, he goes straight up. He goes, "Give me the whole bottle. How about this? I'll shove it straight up your ass.
I'll bend over and I'll shove it straight up your ass."
And that's the guy from the blues bar that they were in earlier.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly. So they say, this party is lame, Max. And he goes, "What about the girls?" He goes, "Girl schmirls. I. And they go down the bar. And then that is the last you see of these two.
Yep.
You couldn't get a better send off than that.
I never really thought about that before, but you're right.
Yeah. Right? They could have done something. They could have had some reaction to Gary and Wyatt taking their chicks, like anything.
Yep.
They could have taken Lisa at the end instead of her just disappearing into smoke and going to be a gym teacher. Like, there's so many things you could have done with this. If she wasn't going to be with Gary and Wyatt anymore, like, I'm not saying that it would be the obvious choice, but just something. Just something to keep them in the universe, not just disappearing behind a bar and then that's it. I just don't understand that. So these guys are messing with everybody. They stop. They're screaming. She says, "You better come out and handle this. They're like two cowards in the closet. They won't go out there and confront these guys." He says he would shoot an egg out of his ass if he could, if he has to prove that he's a chicken. So
that's a good line.
Yeah. The biker with the metal face pulls him through the closet, throws him against the wall. Gary comes out voluntarily, pushes him against the wall. Then this guy proceeds to humiliate these two by mentioning how they take showers with jeans on with beautiful women. They toss off to magazines. Oh, gee, because no one else at that party does that. They wear bras. And what's really weird is the way he delivers it. Vernon Wells, by the way, that's the main mutant, and he's the bad guy in Commando. You know, oh, Neil, right?
Okay. Yep.
And also in Mad Max 2.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they were obviously riffing off of, was the Mad Max shit, right? With these characters.
So he goes, but the way he delivers it, would you like all your friends to know that you wear a bra on your head? And it's like, wait, how come they're not laughing at the part where he said that you wear a bra? Why are they only laughing when they find out that you put it on your head?
I was always jealous of the guy who had the half metal face.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't talk, but when he opened his mouth, it sounded like a mountain lion, but like with some kind of metallic echo to it or something. I always thought that was so badass.
Until he left. When he left, he sounded normal.
Yeah. call me sometime. We'll have lunch.
You'll have lunch in a normal voice. So these guys grab Devin Hilly, and then that's when Gary and Wyatt decide to take a stand.
And as for your ugly ass, let me tell you something. You don't come into my friend's house with your faggot friends driving your motorbikes all over his floors, breaking windows, making a mess, stinking up the place. And believe me, you do stink. And here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna let go of the girls, and you're gonna apologize to all these people. And you're gonna get on your bikes and pedal your ugly asses out of here. See, now, we're gentlemen, so we're gonna give you a choice.
Yeah, you can leave in peace.
Or you can stay and die.
And it's weird, so then Gary, like, pulls the gun on this guy. And then it's really tense. Everyone's like, oh, my God. But then they cut to the shot of this black kid standing next to these other people. And he couldn't look more bored. It's like, why are you showing that? This is an intense moment in the movie. And you're showing some guy who's like rolling his eyes or something. It was weird. You got to watch it again. Next time you watch it. Look at.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He's
right.
Like wearing a green shirt or whatever. Yeah. Weirdest thing. I always thought that was so weird because he takes the moment away for a second. Then the guy doesn't want to die. So he kind of retreats. And it was after he looks at his girlfriend. She's like, and he goes, why don't you shut up, bitch?
That's great.
So him and his friends, they leave. They get on their bikes. They pedal their ugly asses out of there. So after that night, when they cut to they do a shot of the house, and you see those two shooting stars that go past the sky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is that all about?
I don't know.
An homage to Jaws.
Oh, because there's two there, right?
Two in Jaws, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they said there was a real one, and then they added another one for whatever reason.
Right.
That's weird.
So Wyatt gets Hilly.
Right.
Is that short for Hillary? Or something?
I would assume so, yeah. No one's named Hilly.
Right. She says that she wants a kiss, and he said, where do you want it?
Yeah.
So, like, it's her mouth, there's the girl's hair or something. Like, where what are the choices here? Her nipple?
That'd be my choice.
It's like, well, where do you want me to kiss you?
That was a weird line. Where do you want it?
Then Gary tells Deb that if he could make her all over again, he'd make her just like her. I'm sorry.
Get out of here. Get whatever.
What moment did they share? Either of them. Like, the only thing lacking in this movie, I'd say, is we don't know exactly why they're so in love with each other.
Well, earlier in the movie, I think the bathroom scene.
That's it.
He said to her, what's wrong with your face? Because she said, can I come in and fix my face?
Right.
And he goes, what's wrong with your face? And then she kind of melted a little bit when he said that.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, other than that, yeah.
Like, there was nothing. There should have been a scene. I guess the scene was them talking. That was it. Because after that, then you get to the point where he goes, I love you! And the sprinklers come on. But, like, yeah. I love you from what? For that one talk you had at your house after the party?
I think they were in love a long time ago at school. They always watched girls. You ever had that girl at school that you like thought you were in love with, you know, that didn't pay attention to you?
And I guess since they were already oogling these girls in the very beginning of the movie, we're just – okay, so I guess we buy why Gary and Wyatt like them, but why did they like Gary and Wyatt?
Just because they seem like ultra cool at the moment.
And they stood up for themselves against the mutants?
They saved them.
All right.
They act decent, not like their shithead boy.
Let's talk about Gary's parents for a second here. After Lisa basically like wipes Gary's father's memory away.
You son of a bitch.
I'll get to that in a second.
That was Gary.
Like, who is this Gary character? And then he's like, she's like, Gary, our son. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I want you to shut up. And then at the end, when he blows past him in the car and he sticks his head out, he goes, you son of a bitch. Just the look on his face, I don't know what it is. It fucking kills me every time, dude. He's so mad.
Amazing. So Chet comes home. It's snowing in my room, goddammit! Then he knocks these... When he knocks their heads with the edge of the tip of that gun, it hurts me so much.
It makes my head hurt every time.
That sound. Oh.
When he smacked her in the head, I was like, ow!
And he shoved it into her nose? Chat, that's her nose! You die, she walks out of here with a severe limp. Oh, amazing. I love when he's yelling at Wyatt, and she says to leave him alone or something. He goes, "We want to stay out of this, bimbo. It's a family
matter."
That was so great. And he goes, "Chet, I'll give you my social security, and I'll give you my college fund." And then you see him thinking about it, and he lets him go. Oh, man. He goes, "Oh, smart mouth me, you wormy little shit."
Shit.
Oh, amazing, man. And then when he goes downstairs and Lisa's there and everything, and he opens the cupboard and goes, "Hi, Nanny. Hi, Grampy." And he still grabs what he wants to drink or whatever. And then he goes, "What are they doing in there?" And he goes, "Oh, well, they didn't seem to be having a very good time at the party." He goes, "Do you think they're having a good time, catatonic in a closet?" Just like, oh, I love it.
They're not growing old.
They're not even aging.
He goes, "Lady, I want to get to the bottom of this ASAP.
No, ASAFP.
F-P. But first, I'd like to butter your muffin." Why do you have to be such a wanker?
Because I get off on it. Oh, man. Just amazing. So they drive the chicks home. Gary gets into a high-speed police chase. And the girl's waving to the cops, bye, as she's driving down the street. Like, no one's concerned. Does she know that Lisa could wipe everything away? Like, what's happening? Why don't they care that the police are chasing him? Chet is turned into this giant turd. Which is unforgettable as a kid.
Oh my god.
Do you guys notice that Chet's delivery changed a little bit too when he was the turd?
I'm so glad you said that. Something about his voice is off. I've noticed that ever since I watched this when I was a kid. Because when I was a kid, I used to think, is that the same guy doing the voice? And I was really concentrating on it last night. And it's him, but
it's him.
There's something different, though. I can't explain it.
It's like he's trying to talk as if he's coming from the body of a big fat blob.
I guess. I don't know.
Sorry for being such a shit to you all these years. Like, that's not how Chet talks at all.
In between farting and spewing.
The green pus.
Oh.
Oh, man.
He fucking catches a fly. With his tongue?
He's like,
what the fuck?
Oh my god!
He's got... when I was a kid, I didn't know what he was supposed to be. I was like, is he supposed to be a turd? Or is he just supposed to be like some kind of a creature? Because he's got like those like pustules all over his body or something. Right. He's got the arms and legs. So I was like, is that supposed to be a like literally a piece of shit?
Something like it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Why is Lisa dressed up like a circus, like Barnum and Bailey circus, like host or something at the end of this with the ruffles and the jacket with the sparkles all over it and her hair? She looks fucking awful at the end of this movie when she's having her final moments with these guys.
I agree. That's the worst she looks in the whole movie.
Ugh. It's everything that was wrong with the 80s.
Yep.
Yeah, she was not hot, not cute, nothing at this point. So they basically have to confess to her that they love Deb and Hilly and they're going to go with them. And she's just happy to see them. She knew that they couldn't really have a real life together. So she's like Neil said in the beginning, she just kept trying to straighten their lives out. And she was just happy seeing them get on the right path. And you really feel that moment when like Gary, when they both pull up next to each other in the driveway, and he goes, "I think things are really starting to turn around for us." And he goes, "Yeah, I think so." Like you can actually feel that moment when in reality, they didn't really do anything exactly, except for standing up to the mutants. But something about having the party, being the hosts of it, doing that thing, having the two chicks fall for them, and all that, that really does seem like enough for a 15-year-old kid that things are really turning around.
Right.
They gain confidence, basically.
And being so young, just think how different they're going to be from 15 and on. I mean, I wish I had something like that happen to me for that early age, and I didn't have to become confident at 27 or whatever I was. I could have been confident at 16.
Like, yeah, I would have been better for my high school years as well.
Right. I wasn't really killing it back then.
No.
Yeah, so she kisses them, hugs them, goes into the bathroom, a cloud of smoke. And she's gone. And then we get this amazing moment where the house reverts back to normal. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And here's the weird part. So I guess as we become more savvy with filmmaking with these reviews, so are we to believe that when they shot everything out of the chimney, it was a day for night shot? Because when they reverse it, it's now daytime. Like, how could they have done that unless that first one was shot in the day also, right? And they just filled it with stuff and made it look like night.
Right.
Could imagine. So, yeah, they do all that. Everything goes back to normal. Everything fixed. The missile disappears.
But they didn't bring the girl back to the piano with her clothes off.
Yeah, where did she go?
Where did she go? She drowned in the pond.
Yeah. I guess we're to believe she just got out of it and went home that night.
She must have just left naked.
Right. But the grandparents are still unexplainable.
Yep. They're still in the closet.
Still. Yeah. They're alive today because they haven't aged, she said, right? So, how about when the parents come home and the dad refuses to hug Wyatt?
Right.
He goes, no. He shakes his hand. Like, okay, what are we as an audience who are wrapping this movie up? What are we supposed to get out of that exactly? Why is that necessary, right?
Yeah, that's weird. I never really thought about that before, but you're right.
Yeah. There's no, we're not going anywhere with that.
I guess that's showing that Wyatt grew up with quote unquote tough love, like with Chet and his dad. Like there was no kind of like relationship or anything like that.
Well, he didn't know that his dad doesn't hug him until that moment.
Yeah, you're right.
Weird.
Just wants affection.
Yeah. So the end scene, Lisa is now a gym teacher. She, and this is Chris's favorite part.
I was going to say, you better bring this up, dude.
You know what's weird? As that music started from the Rocky movies, I totally forgot that
that was... So did I. Even though I've watched this movie on the regular, like probably every other year is how often I still rewatch this. I completely forgot they play that song at the end.
Isn't that weird?
Yes. And it just ties this whole fucking podcast back together.
I know, that song, keeps coming back.
That song, Boingo Boingo, is in both these movies we just reviewed. How bizarre is that? They did the music for both these movies that we just reviewed, dude.
Right. Mixed in with Rocky music, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
And Paulie in the last movie.
And Paulie!
It's just endless.
Unreal!
So the script was written in 2 days. There was another girl who actually was shooting a couple scenes, and for whatever reason, something wasn't jiving, and they got rid of her and got Lisa, Kelly LeBrock. So those are two weird things I found out.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Doesn't say who the other actress was.
J-Lo.
It was Jennifer Lopez. And she was just too young in 1985. Because she wasn't going by my years. She was actually, she would have been 16.
Like 16, yeah.
And at least she would have been their ages.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
So, what do you little maniacs want to do first?
Yeah, Oingo Boingo made Weird Science. Apparently, when they asked Danny Elfman that they need a song for this movie, apparently it came to him on his drive home. He instantly ran into a studio of some kind and recorded a rough demo so he wouldn't forget anything. And then they kept going over it a few times, and then came out Weird Science, the iconic classic 80s song, which only, oddly enough, like reached number 43 on the charts, which is really weird because this really encapsulates the 80s, and you would think that this would definitely...
Yeah, but I don't ever remember hearing this song like on the radio when I was a kid.
Well, you didn't, because it only went to number 43.
that's
blinded me with science.
That's still not bad though. I mean, they used to do the top 40 every week on the weekends on the local radio stations and shit. I don't know. I only obviously know this song, just like Dead Man's Party. I only know that from back to school.
Me too, honestly.
Yeah. MTV.
How do you guys, let's see, how many Slurpees are we dumping on Gary and Wyatt's head out of five for Weird Science Chris?
Oh, I feel like a broken record every time we record.
I know. We gotta stop recording our favorite show movies, but
it's 5 out of 5, dude. This is one of the quintessential 80s comedy classics. It's perfect.
Yep. 100% agree. I had so much fun watching it again. So like I said, it's gonna be back in my rotation. Thank you for making me rewatch this movie, Alex.
Nice. So just to recap, everyone, he has not watched this since it basically came out. So even then, he still gave it a 5 out of 5. That's how good this is. I also am dumping 5 Slurpees on Gary and Wyatt in the mall. This is... It's weird. At one point in my life, this was my favorite movie. I actually locked this in a box. That's how weird I was with this movie. Like, it was like, well, I know why. Because when I first started getting money at like 13, 14, like real money where I could go to the mall and now have like buy things, this was like the first movie I ever bought. So when I brought it home, I treated it like it was some big deal, and I locked it in this little wooden box I had in a closet in my bedroom like it was the freaking Holy Grail. Like, that's how into this I was. And then, I hope I still have that VHS. I probably did keep it. I don't think I would throw that out, just knowing that. I'm going to display that or something soon around my house. But, yeah, this movie, yeah, it's awesome. It is me. This movie is me. This is my life, my childhood, my adulthood. It never, like Chris said, every 2 years or so. Love it. Great stuff. So, yeah, thanks for coming on again, dude. And definitely we'll have you on. Neil, if you guys don't know, is a huge 80s and 90s action guy, right?
Yes, sir. 80s action and horror.
Yeah, but we're not doing that anymore here.
We're not going to do Friday the 13th?
No, I think I said enough.
Why not? I don't think anyone's ever covered that movie.
Yeah, Alex never talks about it.
I managed to bring it up here with Judy Aronson.
I just love a lot of the 80s shit so good. Like, I love the ninja period of the 80s, and then all, of course, the Arnold period and the Stallone and all, when they were battling each other all the time to try to be king of the box office. And then Van Damme and Seagal come out and do their
them
shit.
Battling it, yeah.
Just good stuff. The movies are all the same, but they're just so much fun. And Chuck Norris, of course.
So, Neil, I got a quick question for you. So, yeah. From those first four Steven Seagal movies, rank those first four in order of your preference.
Oh, geez.
So, it's Out for Justice, Above the Law, Hard to Kill,
and Mark for Death.
I really love Mark for Death. I think that movie's so much fun, and I love the twist in that movie. Out for Justice, that's the one where, who do shot Rob Richie Lupo? Bobby Lupo, right? Yeah,
that's my favorite one.
That's probably my favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Mark for Death, I think, might be number two. And then the other ones, you can throw them whichever way. I like them. I love them all, but I think the Bobby Lupo one is the favorite. Out for Justice, yes. I just love that.
Absolutely. And
at the end, when he gets back at the guy who abandons the puppy.
Hey, you fuck nuts!
The dog just pisses on him.
Didn't we realize that he had a toupee on, or that he eventually... Because he was going bald in that movie, right?
Yeah. You know, he was wearing his hair too tight.
Yeah, and it was very... a very receding hairline, and then suddenly he looked younger, or whatever you want to say, more hair, by the time he was in Hard to Kill and stuff. With Kelly LeBrock.
Like, Hard to Kill is good as well, but I enjoy Out for Justice and...
Yeah, Hard to Kill is probably my favorite, and then
I would go Out for Justice, Above the Law, Hard to Kill, and then Mark for Death.
Wow,
yeah,
you're stewed, buttwad. All right, guys, see you next week.